Welcome in. You are listening to the Blue Notes Podcast, a presentation of Indianapolis Colts stories and notes. I am your host, Benji Taylor. The Colts' magical win streak ends at four games. It was a wild ride, but just like every crisp can of Dr. Pepper, this invigorating win streak tastes its last drop a week ago. Maybe I'm laying it on a bit thick, but it was a really nice run that was slammed to a halt Sunday in Cincinnati with a baffling performance by the good guys. It was a 34-14 butt-whooping by the Bengals. The good news is that we get to put this one behind us. But before that, we have to discuss what went wrong. Stay with me, Colts fans. It's a very good thing that I don't do three good points or highlight three great performances after every game, because I would have quite a struggle mustering up any kind of list for that. No, we're not going to do that. However, a good analysis does make swift observations, and that's what I want to bring to you with this episode. They're not particularly good things or bad things, and I'm especially not objective, but I do have three observations from Sunday's game that I want to share. Number one, this team is who we thought they were, or who I thought they were. I love them, but they're just not ready for a deep playoff run. They might actually get into the playoffs if things happen to fall right for the Colts, but I think this team is far from where it needs to be to complete a long-term run. A playoff team this late in the season would go into Cincinnati against a flawed team and take care of business. On paper, these two teams were fairly even. Both started backup quarterbacks. The Bengals clearly have better wideouts, but the Colts supposedly have a better offensive line and overall defense. Prior to Sunday's game, I would have given Indy the coaching edge, but that's not how it played out on TV. Shane Steichen struggled Sunday, which is ironic after I bragged on him so much in my recent episode, but it's true. Zach Taylor and the Bengals staff called the better plays, designed the better plan, and had that team more ready to play. And then the players executed the plan. The whole thing was a bit puzzling because I just didn't think the Bengals were a very good football team. I'm not sure if they proved me wrong or if the Colts are just a little bit worse than I thought they were. It's also possible that maybe it was just a bad game. Yeah, let's hope that's it. The entire team fell flat Sunday, but especially the offensive line. I'm not sure what to think of this group. They're certainly better than they were last year, with basically no new additions. PFF ranks them highly every week, but from my view, they aren't close to the Colts' 2020-2021 offensive line. And there has been no better proof than Sunday's matchup with the Bengals, who has been one of the worst rushing defenses in the league. It was a perfect opportunity for the Colts' O-line to establish dominance, control the pace of the game, and ride Zach Moss to victory. But it didn't happen that way. No, it didn't happen that way. Zach Moss rushed for an astounding 28 yards on 13 carries. 28 yards. I'm not sure about your math skills, but that is just a touch over 2 yards per carry against one of the worst run defenses in the league. Najee Harris is a slow, unimpressive running back for the Steelers, and he ran for 6.6 yards per carry against the Bengals 2 weeks ago. It was his most yards gained out of any game this season. 2 weeks before that, Devin Singletary for the Texans ran for 130 yards against the Bengals, and it was the most yards he had gained in any game during his 5-year career. And all Zach Moss could muster with this O-line was 28 yards. To be fair, I do think this Colts offensive line has blocked decently well on pass plays this season, but the run blocking has left much to be desired. As a result, they are a very average to below average run team paired with a limited quarterback and passing game. The 2023 Colts have had some pleasantly surprising moments in this year's campaign, but I also think that Sunday's game is just part of their unfortunate makeup. Coming into the season, I kept hearing about how good Gardner Minshew is and how starting him would lead to more immediate wins. We heard it on the broadcast Sunday that he's one of the best backups in the league, and as those words were fumbling out, the Bengals backup, Jake Browning, was throwing for one of the highest pass rates possible. Browning clearly was the better man. And this should come as no surprise. Prior to this season, Gardner Minshew was 8-16 as a starter over the course of his career. Specifically, the past 2 years in Philly with a Super Bowl roster, he was 1-3. I like the guy, I do, he's won me over. But it's been a weird ride with Minshew. I wasn't excited about him playing, but he was pushed into the starting job after Anthony Richardson was hurt. Minshew played well in relief, but then he struggled. Yet the team just now marked a 4-game win streak. Then Sunday, he reminded us once again why he is a backup quarterback. And that's what a backup quarterback does. He's in the league. He can play football. All of these guys can play football. But there are only about 12 or 15 guys who can play that position at an extremely high level. Everyone else has some good games here or there, but can't play with any kind of consistency. That 4-game win streak pulled the wool over our eyes, but the Bengals yanked back that wool. And now we see clearly again. Gardner is a good guy. We could do much worse, much worse. But we should expect some games like that sprinkled in as long as he's under center. That's life in the NFL. Or for us, that's life as an NFL fan. Especially a Colts fan. Three observations. The first one, in the words of the late, great Denny Green, this team is who we thought they were, who I thought they were. My second observation is this. Penalties aren't fun. They aren't fun. Truly, if you wanted to find a good way to spoil the fun of the game, have I got a plan for you. Just throw a yellow flag on every other play. That's how it's done. If you want to ruin the fun, that's how you do it. I'm not really blaming anyone. I'm not even saying the refs were incorrect. But what I am saying is that with each flag thrown, the game gets exponentially less fun. I believe there were like 19 total penalties accepted Sunday. 19! If I were the commissioner, I would cap penalties at 15. Maybe 12. That's it. I'd tell the refs, you got 12 flags to throw. Choose them wisely. Sunday in Cincinnati, those guys were throwing those things for sport. Holding, flag. Leverage, flag. Dirty look, flag. Sneezing, you guessed it, flag. And it wasn't just the Colts game. This has been a league-wide annoyance this year. I'm not specifically referencing the Chiefs-Bills game Sunday, but sure, let's consider that late offsides call on Kadarius Toney, the receiver. He was clearly offsides. I'm not arguing that. But why doesn't the ref just tell him to move back instead of watching the play unfold, then throwing the flag to alter the game? I know what you're thinking. It's not the ref's job to warn the players before they commit penalties. But shouldn't it be? Why not do that when they can? I'm a father of three young boys, as I'm sure I've mentioned before. They're going to make a lot of dumb decisions in their lives, I know that. Many with some unfortunate consequences. I hope desperately that they learn from those mistakes, but if I could somehow stop them time to time from making a bad decision, shouldn't I do that? Wouldn't that make their lives a little better? I know that my viewing pleasure would be a lot better if I saw fewer flags during NFL games. When you're throwing that many flags, you're going to get a few wrong. That's just how it's going to be, and we saw that Sunday in pivotal moments in the game. The Colts rookie cornerback Jalen Jones was matched up against one of the better receivers in the league, Ja'Marr Chase. Jones was battling, and I thought he fared pretty well, but he was called for two penalties. The first one wasn't shown on the broadcast, and the second one was egregiously wrong. If anything, Chase had his arm hooked into Jones, the defender, yet the flag flew. The worst of them all came with about 10 minutes to go in the game. The Colts had one last chance to make a game out of it. Down 31-14, they drove 50 yards. Zach Moss capitalized the payment with a score from the 10. But once again, the flag flew. It was a holding call on Quentin Nelson. The play was shown on the broadcast, and there was no sign of holding. Nothing at all. No sign at all. The touchdown was nullified. After an incomplete pass and yet another penalty, the Colts then had the ball on second and goal from the 25. Gardner Minshew threw an interception, and that was it. Let me be clear, that was not a well-played game by the Colts. I'm not saying that they deserved to win. They certainly had their fair share of boneheaded decisions. But there were 2 to 3 flags thrown for no apparent reason at all. And those were the drive crushers, the game sealers. Lastly, I'll say this and get out because it's an unpopular opinion. I think the defense is playing inspired football, for the most part. The pass rush hasn't been consistent, that's true. EJ Speed has been missed as of late. But I love what the young corners have done recently. Daryl Baker Jr. has been a little better, and I've been impressed with the rookie Jalen Jones since training camp. Remember, this team has lost 4 cornerbacks since last year. 4. That's like arm wrestling with nothing but an elbow and a pinky toe. This is somewhat unprecedented, and I think these guys deserve some grace. Hopefully, Juju Brents will be back soon to finish the season, but until then, it's Jalen Jones and Old Dirty Baker, and I'm here for it. They held 2 of the best wideouts, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, to just over 100 yards total. That's pretty good. 3 observations from Sunday. This team is probably who I thought they were. Penalties are zero fun, and I'm impressed with the young corners. And I don't care what you think. Saturday, the Colts host the Steelers. Patrick and I will be making the trip from West Virginia with some Steelers fans. I'm not exactly sure what we've gotten ourselves into, but we will soon find out. Come back next week, and hopefully we're talking about the start of another Colts win streak. Take care, and go Colts! This was a presentation of the Blue Notes Podcast. I'm Benji Taylor. Thanks for listening.